Café Rollist is your caffeinated tabletop RPG break. It started as our exclusive Patreon show, but following a survey with our supporters, I am happy now to share its most recent episode here with you. If you enjoy this show, please consider checking out our archive of 100 or so additional episodes, which are still exclusive on Patreon. Hello, welcome to Café Rollist. Today, another encounter, first chat with someone met through Twitter. Thanks for joining me today, or tonight, should I say. We changed a bit the schedule. Reliable, could you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, guys. I'm Eli, or Reliable, whichever you prefer. I use he, they pronouns. I am a TTRPG player, GM, all sorts of stuff, based out of Corvallis, Oregon. So
cool. The only thing I know about Oregon are from a very terrible sources. Well, it's from the movie as a kid, Short Circuit. Because the robot is lost in Oregon, so I know he mentioned something about strawberries there. And the second source of information for me is, what is it called? Gravity Falls. So my knowledge of Oregon is absolutely abysmal, I'm afraid.
Gotcha. Yeah, we definitely, the area that I'm in, so, excuse me, I'm in the Willamette Valley area, so we have super great berries. I did not know that when I first moved here a year ago, that the berries were going to be so freaking amazing. But they're amazing. They have Marion berries here, which I hadn't had before. And then I tried them for the first time and I fell in love. It's also very wet here. There will be times where it will rain for like a week straight. And it's just like, that's just how it's going to be. yeah, it's, I love it here. I moved here from Georgia a year ago, and I definitely prefer this weather over Georgia's weather, as Georgia's hot and humid, and Oregon's pretty much the opposite.
So, yeah, I'm going to continue on the trend of me being a complete fool. It's on the Northwest Pacific, is it? Is it on the coast?
Yeah, it's Pacific Northwest. We're right below Washington and right above California.
Okay, cool.
Amazing. I'm sort of in the, like, more north part of the west coast of
Oregon. I mean, I imagine the thing with Europeans, when we see a map of the U.S., it's always, oh, this state is on the coast, so the whole state is on the coast. But we don't tend to realize that a full state of the United States is as big as, let's say, France or Germany. So if you're on the opposite side of the state, you're still quite far, I imagine.
Pretty much. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. I drove from Georgia when I first moved here, and that was my first time driving across the country by myself, and it was an experience. And I loved it. It was really nice seeing so many parts of the United States, and there are definitely some places I want to be able to go back to when I have a little bit more time. But I got out of the car after that trip, and I was like, I'm not driving for like a week. I can't. So it was like 3 days straight of driving, and I was like, I can't do this.
So Georgia is all the way east. It's on the east coast then.
Yeah.
Wow. I think the furthest I've driven here in Europe was beyond the Polish border. I'd be curious to compare the distance. I think I would be one third into the US, maybe halfway, but certainly not that far. We got a couple ice-breaking questions. My first one is, what is your routine like at the moment?
So with everything going on, so typically I am a lab assistant at Oregon State University in the chemistry department. So typically what that means is I get all the labs set up for the students to do throughout the term. But this term, everyone has been online, so there are no in-person labs. And we, the lab assistants, have also been working from home. So basically that means I like get up at my normal time to like go to work and do whatever online tasks we figure out for the day or for what, however the period of time is. Like, for instance, right now I'm working on a spreadsheet for one of the professors that basically is organizing a bunch of data that students have collected. So I'm working on that right now. We've been working on redoing some of the prep sheets that we have for the labs, and just revamping them, making them a little bit more neat and a little bit more correct to the processes that we actually do. So that's pretty much, I work my like normal scheduled time for that. And during all of that, I'm typically like either watching Netflix. If one of my friends is on Twitch, I'm watching them on Twitch while doing stuff, or thinking about RPG stuff and writing down ideas as they come to me. And then as soon as I clock out, I'm still at my computer. I clock out. If there's any like homework that I need to do on my computer, I do that because I'm also a computer science student. So I do that if I need to. And if not, I am typically just hanging out in Discords, playing TTRPGs, planning TTRPGs, whatever fills my time, pretty much.
And have you picked up any new interest, hobby, or skills? As I was explaining for people who might be new, those questions were there when we started the lockdown, and I guess it's going on. I don't know.
So nothing really new, as much as like diving a little bit deeper on like some of the hobbies that I already have. So a big thing with TTRPGs, I started out with D&D 5e, and started out with D&D 5e, and that's all I knew for a very long time. And the first thing outside of that that I played was a Firefly TTRPG.
Oh, cool.
And I always said, like, from that point, I want to learn more RPGs, but, like, I just don't have the time to read, plan, all that stuff. And with D&D and Firefly, it was basically, like, I was thrown into a group or whatever, and, like, I was learning on the fly, which is good for me. Like, that's how I learn best. But, like, trying to figure out, having the time to, like, sit down and read core rule books, listen to other people's podcasts, actual plays, and all that stuff was super hard before quarantine and everything. So I'm glad that I have the extra time to like actually get into that stuff now, because now I can like, once I get out of quarantine or whatever, I can start actually like working on these things and have the time to actually execute my plans instead of them just being sort of abstract ideas. So
cool. What shows do you listen to? Do you have any you would recommend?
So I started out on Critical Role because that was what my boss recommended to me. My boss at the time, she was super into Critical Role, and she got me hooked and addicted. Past that, I would probably recommend Dice Priori. I guessed on their channel a few times. They have a couple really good ongoing campaigns. And I had the privilege of guesting on Ghost in the Machine for a few weeks. And that is actually available on their Spotify. If you find them under podcasts, super, super dramatic, super. I feel like that was the first time that like I played D&D and I really felt like I was doing the things that I wanted to be doing and like role playing how I wanted to role play, and my moves in combat were meaningful and all this other stuff. So they've done a super great job at their D&D stuff and also the other stuff that they've been doing. Another podcast that I just picked up, I'm trying to remember, it's called Path of Night. I just remembered it. It's a Vampire the Masquerade podcast, because I just started getting into World of Darkness stuff. And they actually just started, and I think they're 7 episodes in right now, and it's pretty great. I typically lean towards the more dramatic stuff. I don't really like one of my things about playing TTRPGs is I really want, I don't really lean towards a lot of combat. I lean towards more role play, and I want role play to be meaningful. And that's something that I really gravitate towards in podcasts and actual plays as well, is like making sure that like the role play and also like the combat as well can be meaningful. So when you do have combat, making sure that it is, it does have depth. It does have all the things I want out of role play, I also want out of combat. So.
And you got your own Twitch channel, so what type of content do you produce? Because to be honest, I didn't take the time yet to have a look. I'm a very little consumer of Twitch, but I didn't have a chance to grab yours yet.
Yeah, so on my channel, which is just Reliable One on Twitch, typically it's a hodgepodge of whatever I'm feeling at the time. These past two times I've gone live, I've been doing Twitch sings because I also sing. Other times have been games that I'm interested in at the time, like Divinity Original Sin 2. Yeah, that sounds about right. I always get mixed up on the name of that one. I used to stream a D&D group that I was running. We moved that off of my channel just because it's just me and my friends, and we like to keep that that group just private, just for us. But yeah, it's typically like what I stream on there is pretty much what I'm feeling at the time. Mainly because I end up guesting on so many other channels that like I put my D&D and other TTRPG content through them. And then my channel is specifically for, okay, this is my time to relax and just like goof off playing a game and be terrible at this game, and people can watch and be terrible. It's fine.
I really wish I had a better broadband, because I would really like to do that. Like, I'd like to play. I downloaded the complete collection of LucasArts old Star Wars games. I'd love to go through X-Wing Alliance or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and just stream that. But my internet is very bad, which is why for people watching us live, it's always better to catch us on YouTube afterwards, because the bandwidth is just absolutely terrible here in it's central London. That's a disgrace. Huh?
Dang, I understand that. I've been in that boat. So.
So do you have projects of tables, or are you running something online at the moment?
So I'm not running anything that's being streamed right now. The only game that I'm actually running is the one for me and my two friends from back home. It's a D&D 5e game that I... The setting is homebrew, and everything that I'm doing is like I've created it, and they're going through some stuff right now and have to make some decisions that I typically will either tweet about or I'll talk about it while I'm live on Twitch, just after the fact, because they do watch my Twitter and my Twitch, and I don't want to give them any spoilers. So yeah, that's the only thing that I'm running, and that's not online. As far as online stuff that I'm involved in, I am part of right now a mass campaign that is powered by the Apocalypse TTRPG system.
I love Masks. That's my favorite PBTA game. I should play it so much more.
This is my first time doing any PBTA, and it's like I love it so much. We're doing this one for Pride Month, and it's me and a few other people that. People that I've met and people that I haven't met yet that are in the TTRPG community that are queer, that are people of color, and all sorts of other stuff. So it's a really great group, and we've been talking in chat a lot about like our characters and how they interact, and everyone just like loves each other's characters. It's so great. That's something that we've been working on. We just recorded the first episode, and it's going to go live tonight, I think. At, I think it's at 8 Eastern time. So that's pretty great, and I'm excited for that. Next month, I've just signed up to be part of a Monster of the Week one shot. It's going to be a charity stream, which I've been. Monster of the Week was the first powered by the Apocalypse game that I was exposed to, like through an actual play. and I've been wanting so bad to play ever since I saw it. So I'm so glad that I'm getting to play finally. And especially for a charity stream, we're going to be raising money for Color of Change. So that's going to be great. Go ahead.
I always get confused. I mean, I know the difference, but between Monster of the Week and Monster Heart, I've tried Monster of the Week, but I'd really like to try Monster Heart as well. And I'd like to play more Monster of the Week.
I'm trying. Right now I'm in those two, and then I'm in a text campaign that is Apocalypse World. I'm like, I really hope I don't sit here and get like all three of these mixed up and start just mixing up lore and rules and all this other stuff. But luckily they run so similarly, I should be okay. But I'm also scared that that's going to be my downfall. So,
well, at the same time, I mean, that's the issue I had when I was trying to run Dungeon World. You're supposed to play your character, to say what your character is doing, but you're not supposed to put the rules at the front. So you rather activate rules rather than enforce them. And when I was playing it for the first time as a somewhat more experienced with, for lack of a better term, traditional games, and my players were in that situation also, everybody would always stare at the character sheet and be like, oh, I want to activate that. I want to use that skill. And we had to come back and say, no. Just tell me what your character is doing and we'll decide together what gets activated. But people were really stressed out by that approach. So I guess if you get the good practice from one of those three games, it works for the others, as long as you have a facilitator who knows the rules well enough to say, oh, wait a second, you just activated the whatever it's called. But 7-9, you succeed with a thingy.
The game that I run, I've run a few D&D 5e games in the past, and I always have to, in the beginning, I was really pounding into them, like, guys, don't ask me, can I roll this? Can I make an athletics check? Can I make a perception check? Tell me what you're looking for, because one, I might not even ask you to roll.
Yeah.
And two, give the opportunity for me to, like, say, okay, are you want to make a perception check, or okay, make an insight and investigation check or whatever. If I say that and like you're not wanting to do that, or like you're wanting to go a different route, then we can have the conversation of, okay, well, we can adjust it to be that, or okay, it's going to be higher DC, whatever, with that. So like that's something I'm always having to pound into players about, is like, just like, be a character, like be yourself. Because like if I'm walking around and I'm trying to find something in my kitchen, I don't say out loud, I would like to make an investigation check in my kitchen. I just go try to find it. That's a huge thing. It's sort of like the idea of like the person behind the curtain in Wizard of Oz. The wizard, like this huge, powerful being that's doing all these things, and he's like actually just behind a curtain and like doing all the stuff, but like we want that curtain to stay up, and we want him to like continue to be this big powerful being, even though like he's just a person. So
you mentioned PBTA, you mentioned D&D. You're running strictly Dungeons and Dragons, or did you try being the facilitator or whatever it's called, depending on the game, for PBTA or other types of games?
I haven't tried being the GM for PBTA at all. I'm very experienced with being DM for D&D, but I've also been a storyteller for Call of Cthulhu for one shot, and then also game master for, I did a one shot that was Honey Heist, and that was a lot of fun. That was actually the first thing that I ever ran was Honey Heist.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, the group that I got together was pretty great, and it was such a fun time. I think those are the only things that I've run, now that I think about it. I want to run other things, but I kind of have this rule of, like, I want to like have played it or have like had enough time to like super get familiar with the rules before I run it myself. So
took me a while to realize that, but yeah, only recently I realized that I really suck at reading a book and trying to run it. That's how I used to learn the first three games I ran, I barely read the books. I just had played it for a long time, and then I did the rules the way I remembered them, and probably the way the game masters were doing it, which might not have been the actual "right" way of doing it. So I'm trying to embrace that and say, okay, if I want to run something, I will find people to run it for me first, and then find out this way. What was I going?
Which can be like. That can be like super hard, honestly. There have been so many times that I've ended up in forums where everyone's like, okay, we're all ready to play this game. Who can run it? And then, and that's just how it is. No one wants to run because everyone's like, I would rather play, or I want to play before I can run. And like, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet. Luckily, I haven't had to do that yet. And when I do it, it's going to be interesting. But, It is super hard to find GMs, and I wish more people were confident in their skills to like step up and be the facilitator for these games, because we definitely need more GMs out there. So
yeah, it's I think I recently found out. I had heard of them for a long time, but I only recently joined something called the Gauntlet, where you got a lot of game designers who are there testing their games. And They actually do offer a lot of tables, including some for people like me who are in the British time zone. There's quite a lot of game which are available, so I'm gonna play a couple over there. But what I found out is that now with online games, which are getting a bit more popular, very often the game designers themselves are running the game as a way to promote their games. So that's a good way to jump on board. I know that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm promoting my game mainly through saying, "Hey, join a session. I'm running it. You want to play it?" And so on. It's still a play test, but to be honest, it's 90% demo. If I'm promoting my games rather than really looking for feedback. I still get amazing nuggets of feedback now and then, but yeah, it's about trying to build up people. And yeah, a lot of people do that when you follow game designers here and there, so, and it's quite cool. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, the Call of Cthulhu, actually I'm very excited because next week, I think the 17th, so yeah, that's pretty Wednesday, I'm gonna have, I hope I pronounce his name correctly, Chris Spivey, the author of Harlem Unbound, who's going to be with me for an interview. And I just downloaded the PDF of Harlem Unbound. For people who don't know it, it's being republished by Chaosium itself. It's a Call of Cthulhu supplement you play in the 1920s in Harlem. And I'm a big fan of everything in a historical setting, and you find out about that setting through role-playing games. And this one... It starts really cool. It looks very, very exciting and interesting. I'm curious to read more about it. I don't know if you dabbled with that one.
I have not. So the only Call of Cthulhu that I have run or even like interacted with was literally like the starter set, because it was free on Roll20, and I was like, I really want to do this, and I pulled my two best friends and I was like, okay, we're gonna try this, we're gonna see what happens. They super enjoyed it. They always get the feeling that I'm trying to kill them, and depending on the day, like, that could be the goal. But it really just like, I love Call of Cthulhu as a system, just because I love the feel of like you going in and like that first encounter that you have where like there might be one person in your group that's like, oh, this is haunted, like obviously that's what this is, but everyone else is like, something else is going on, like there's no way. But like that first moment where like it's actually confirmed that like something else is going on, like in the game that I was running, it was they're in this room and a bed literally like lifts up and knocks one of the players out of a window, and like they both see this happen, and it's just like, well, that's the end of that. So, and they ended up back and they did all the other stuff, but like that first moment where like they figure it out is just like always so. It's as a GM, I love that feeling. I love the feeling of watching my characters figure things out. So. My players, sorry.
Are there any games at the moment you notice and you want to try, or you want to find a table so you can learn it and maybe run it yourself?
So, definitely Powered by the Apocalypse stuff, just because that's what my friends have been talking a lot about and hyping up to me. I've been wanting to do more Vampire the Masquerade. I was involved in a play-by-post community that... I ended up leaving because just some toxicity in the community that I refused to be involved with. So I didn't really get to get very involved in that before leaving. So I'm like looking for another avenue for that, just because vampires are probably like my go-to. I love vampires for some reason. Like in fantasy, I just love them. especially like vampires on TV, vampires in movies. I love it. So I'm like looking for that, which I'm getting a little bit of my feel because my friend Alexis has been running for us. It is a 4-part series where it's D&D 5e, but we're playing vampires, and it's so amazing. She's done so much work into like the mechanics and everything, and like everything is, I love the people that we're playing, and I love the people that I'm playing with, and it makes it so much more enjoyable knowing that the GM is so invested in not only like our well-being, but the story. So that's been pretty cool. Outside of that, I don't really think there have been many other things on my radar as far as things to play. I did for the first time play... something from the World of Swordsfall. I think it was this past Saturday, where basically we were going back. It was basically a rap competition, and I cannot rap, but my character could. So we were just filling that in there. It was such a fun time because it. All of us like basically had different techniques for like what we were bringing forward to like go up against our competition. And finally, like a lot of the techniques involved like insulting the other person or like going and just trying to find the flaws of the other person. And finally, I was just like, that is not working for my character. Like, I don't know what it is, but my character is just like off kilter with that. So we're just going to like focus in and like try to tell a story with the rap or whatever and like see what happens. And I was doing well until I lost, but it like the versatility of that system and the versatility of like being able to play that was amazing. And I want more of those experiences where I can go into something knowing like, okay, this is what everyone else is doing. What if I do this? Is this a viable option? And then figuring that out and like expanding more on the initial, like what I see that the players can do. So.
What did you say is the title of this one? Because I'd love, I'm rubbish at rapping as well. I haven't even tried to be honest, but I'm pretty sure that would be absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, everyone else on the stream like at least gave an attempt, and I was just like, mm-mm.
Oh, it was streamed on top of that. Wow.
Yes. I was filling in for someone, and I found out earlier that week, and. I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I didn't know anything about the system when I agreed to fill in. But then Liz was like, okay, here's a system, and basically it's going to be like a rap competition, and you don't actually have to rap, but like this is how it's going to work. And I was like, okay. And then I like heard everyone else like spitting rhymes and like actually doing stuff, and I was like, okay. So it's from Swordsfall. If you follow them on Twitter, it's...
Oh, Swordsfall. Okay.
Swordsfall, yeah. If you follow them on Twitter, they have like a whole thing that they've been working on, and this is one of the things that has come out for it. It's super amazing. The setting is beautiful, and I fell in love like as we were like... I fell in love literally as Liz was giving like that initial talk about like what we were getting into and like the island that we were on, and I was just like, this is beautiful. I love it. So, if you want more information on that, go ahead and follow them on Twitter, and they're amazing. So,
well, I can ask you. So, because when you said rapping, I was thinking that it might be a contemporary setting. But so it's a different setting. Is it fantasy? Is it science fiction?
It's if I had to peg it, it would be modern fantasy. It's basically the same thing that like we're doing on a day-to-day basis, but like we're living sort of in an idealist world, I would say.
And cool.
So, idealist from one person's perspective, because that does change from people to people. It was idealist for me, I will say. But, yeah.
Sounds awesome. I need to check that out. Yeah, the next game I sign up to, through the Gauntlet, yeah, it's called Remembrance. It's going to be a playtest, and you play people... Irish, in Ireland in the 1920s. So it's, apparently there's a fair warning in there. It's going to be quite intense. It's about family feuds in context of, religious, what do you call that? Intolerance and so on. So yeah, that might be special. I was keen on signing up for anything. I signed up for this one, and we'll see how intense it gets, because it can be quite intense also, role-playing games. Now and then. Cool. Running out of questions. We got quite a few people in the stream. That's nice, but nobody is keen on asking questions. Sorry, it's a bit late, and I had a tiring day. What more can I ask? I mean, I don't know if you want to. I don't want to annoy you with that, but I don't know if you want to speak about the news or not. I should have asked you before we started.
Oh, no,
to be
totally
honest,
fine.
But we rushed. To be honest, my sort of philosophy is just to. Yeah, to go with whatever anyone wants to discuss about, so we can chat about something again. But since I'm sort of stupidly running out of subjects, and it's kind of the elephant in the room, sadly. I don't know that, or I don't know if you looked at the Humble Bundle, which has been extremely popular lately. They got quite a few very interesting games in there.
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about both. I'll talk about the bundle first, and then I'll segue into that. So the bundle I actually just bought because my friend Dustin sent it to me, and I was like, this looks interesting. And I saw that there were like a bunch of games, and all you had to do is donate like more than $5. And I was like, okay, that's easy. That's literally like if any like corporations or something are out there watching, that's how you get me. Is you say that there's a bundle and you only have to pay X amount. I'm just done. I just finally like have started going through the games, and there are some things that I've like actually been wanting to play. Like, I think the name of it is This Discord Has Ghosts. I've really been wanting to play it, and like I'm about to like try to get a group together for it because it's going to be fun. So that's going to be cool. I'm so glad that they're doing so well as well. I think they just like beat their $5 million goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mind-blowingly good bundle. I paid $50 for it, and I still find it's a complete steal. That's Blades in the Dark in there, which is a very established full role-playing game, which I really recommend. I love the system. It's very interesting if you're into heist. Most Ritter, which I played recently. So since I played it, I could run it. You play mice a bit the borrower style, but actual mouse, but with little armor, little spears, and so on. There's Troika. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't played it. There's Lancer, if you are in mechas, and Kevin Lovecraft, who was a guest here, really recommended that game. There's Damn the Man, Save the Music, which is a personal favorite of mine, in which you play kids in a record shop. There's so much stuff in there, and I don't even know about the video games which are in there, which seems very interesting too.
Yeah, it's so cool that just the fact that they were able to get so many people like that were willing to like donate their craft to this bundle is just amazing. So that's been really full to be able to see during all of this. All of this has been quite like I've had a hodgepodge of emotions throughout this whole thing. So a little bit of background. Ahmad Aubrey was actually from my hometown. So my Facebook feed was full of everything when that happened. I was feeling a mix of emotions with Ahmad Aubrey because for a lot of Black people, like, this is just like another person that this has happened to, like, in a like very long growing list. And, excuse me. Throat's a little bit scratchy. Give me one sec. So, my immediate reaction, yes, I'm, like, extremely upset about Ahmad Aubrey, but I'm, like, slightly more upset that, like, now a lot of people are paying attention to, like, the thing that we've been saying for so long. And there was a lot of... I've been having a lot of like tough conversations with friends, and I've been like having a lot of I've had to like remove some people from my life because of all of this, because I have depression and anxiety, and a lot of me like keeping up with my mental health is not allowing toxic people in my life because I tend to like try to be the people pleaser, and I can't try to please them and be happy with myself. So and that was that situation. And then George Floyd happens, and every Black person that I've talked to about this has had the same like reaction of, I don't understand why it was George Floyd, or I don't understand why it was Ahmad Aubrey that got so many people talking, got so many people like actually on our side about this, as opposed to like telling us, oh, well, all lives matter. Oh, well, don't kneel during the national anthem and all this other stuff. Like we're all grateful, definitely, that like we're finally getting the situation is getting the spotlight that it deserves, but we're kind of like, it's kind of a general confusion as to like what exactly is triggering that for everyone. And I still don't know, honestly. I'm trying to focus on the good that's being done because of it instead of continuing to question it. But it's definitely been like a very large shock to me. The amount of support and the amount of people reaching out that I've noticed. Sort of the reason behind my like sudden, so this time last week, I think I had like 275 followers on Twitter, and I was following like 300 and something. And I was like, cool, whatever. And I made a tweet because there's a huge conversation in the TTRPG community, especially within people of color in the TTRPG community, of like these shows that like will swear up and down, we can't find black people for our shows, or we can't find anyone with melanin for our shows. And I finally like just lost it one day, and I tweeted that quote, and I said, I am black and gay. I have been playing D&D for a very long time. I've been doing TTRPG stuff like outside of D&D for like the past year, and I'm experienced, I'm a fast learner, and I'm good with safety tools, which like not everyone can be able to say about themselves in TTRPG communities. And I wasn't really saying that to promote myself as much to say like, we're out here. Like, we're doing the same amount of stuff that you're doing. We're putting in the same amount of work. We're trying our hardest to get seats at these tables. And, like, for you to say that you can't find us is really an insult to the amount of work that we've been putting in. And I ended the tweet with, like, we're here. If you can't find us, you're not looking. And I don't know who got a hold of the tweet, because typically what happens is I tweet as if I'm screaming into a void and I expect no response. And I don't expect anyone to interact with the tweet, and I'm just like, it's out there, whatever. I don't know which one of my followers got a hold of the tweet and retweeted it, and then one of their followers saw it and retweeted it. And I just remember looking at my phone and like, apparently my phone maxes out at 22 Twitter notifications, 24 Twitter notifications. And I was like, oh, a lot of people have seen this. I'm just going to dismiss this for now because no one's like, there's nothing like dire happening and I'm in the middle of something. And then I get on Twitter and all these people are following me. All these people are reaching out about, will you guest on my show? Come on my podcast, all this other stuff, and nothing like against any of those, but it was sort of just like, I was very overwhelmed. First of all, never had that much of a response from anything that I've done. So I was sort of like, I kept telling my friends, I'm just going to delete my Twitter because this is too much. I'm going to deactivate and run away because there's a lot of people who like want to talk to me and want to like show their support and all this other stuff. And I don't know like what to do with all of it. And finally, I was just like, you know what? No, we're taking it and we're going to run with it because like, as much as like I preach that we've been like doing the work and we deserve the recognition, I need to believe that about myself. So I started responding and I started like saying, yeah, I'll come on your podcast. Yeah, I'll guest on your show. I'll help you with this charity stream. And like, there's sort of a balance, I'm going to say, between, accepting all of that for, not for yourself necessarily, but accepting all of these opportunities and like not letting yourself get burned out and not letting like doubt set in, because like there have been so many times that I've had the thought that like, and like I'm not saying this against anyone who has reached out. I'm putting this out here right now. A lot of the reason that I'm getting so many followers right now and I'm getting so many people retweeting my things and like larger names are like recognizing me for some reason. A lot of that has boiled down to white guilt. And I was talking to my friend Matthew about it. Cause I had just like, I had just taken a shower and it just hit me like as I was in the shower, like washing my hair. And I was just like, do any of these people genuinely think that the content that I'm putting out is good? I had to sit with that for a minute. And the next question that I had to ask myself was, even if they don't, how much do you care about that? And the answer was none. At the end of the day, I'm putting out the content that I want. My Twitch, like I said, I do what I want on my Twitch and I just go with it and have a good time. And sometimes there's people in chat that I interact with. Sometimes I go live on Twitch and no one's there. And it's either way, I'm having a good time. And I'm getting to do that. I'm getting to play other TTRPGs on other people's streams and at other people's tables and all this other stuff. I'm getting my name and my face out there. And not as much for me to get my name and my face out there, but to say that, like, this is for everybody. Like, the amount of gatekeeping that I've seen within the TTRPG community is astounding. Like, for a group of people who have been marginalized in society for liking what they like or whatever for so long, they are so good at saying who can and cannot like the things that they like. And I've had so many conversations with women in the TTRPG community about how they are perceived and how when Alexis first brought this idea of vampires playing vampires in D&D up, she tweeted it out, and the amount of people who were like in her mentions and in her DMs talking about, oh, you mean Vampire the Masquerade? Oh, I don't think that's going to work, and all this other stuff. And I was just like, Alexis knows a bunch about D&D, like way more than most of the people who are in these comments talking right now. And the amount of pushback that she was getting for simply pursuing an idea of something that like she wanted to do. And like me and my friends are like, yeah, sign me up. Like, I'm ready. And once like you've play tested it, like send me the module, whatever, because I want this not only in the game that we're playing, but I want it in like future games. And just trying to like push through all of that, trying to push through the crowds of people saying like, oh, you need to stop being so sensitive at the table when it comes to safety tools. You need to just focus more on combat instead of RP because no one wants to do RP at this table. And all this other stuff that like I've dealt with at like tables that I've stayed at and tables that I've left immediately. And trying to push through all of that before all of this was immeasurably hard. I ended up guesting on Dice Priori. I really don't remember. I was talking to Chase about this last night. I don't remember how I came across Dice Priori. I know that somehow the application to guest on Fire or to be on Firefly, the TTRPG stream, was on my feed somehow. I filled it out and I got accepted. And then all of a sudden, like, all of these people are my friends now. We clicked immediately and all this other stuff. And Dice Priori is the place that I have felt most comfortable, like, being at their table, because I know that, one, they value my input, two, they value my safety at their table, and they are just all around a caring group of people. That doesn't outweigh the fact that I have dealt with racism at the table. I have dealt with sexism at the table, transphobia, all sorts of things that I've dealt with. I'm not like, this didn't happen in like 2008 or even 2012. This happened when I started D&D 2-3 years ago. This has continued to happen, and I like have recently, literally within the last week, left a group because it happened in 2020. And trying to like deal with all of that, like trying to push through all of that, and like in the midst of me like not only dealing with that at the TTRPG table, but also in my daily life. I always have this conversation about, I don't want to deal with fantasy racism because I deal with real life racism, and D&D TTRPGs are my escape. So I don't want to have to deal with that there. There's an argument that can be made about, you use that to like help prep yourself to like get through it in real life, and like more power to those people, but I can't do it. It's too real for me. So I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. And for a lot of people, that's a problem. For a lot of people, that means I can't play at their tables and all this other stuff. But like for me, that's how I am. And I think now that George Floyd has happened, now that all these people are like speaking up about like these injustices and there's been a huge like conversation in the TTRPG community about how they don't value the voices of Black creators as much as they do white creators. And now all of these people that I know are getting verified on Twitter, all of these people are getting more followers on Twitch and all this other stuff. And like, all of us are kind of just like sitting here, waiting for the other shoe to drop, sort of, waiting for people to go away or waiting for, one of the people that have followed me to like cause a problem or whatever. And I think collectively, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but for me and a lot of the people that I've talked to, it's been like, we're going to like milk this situation. We're going to get the content that we've been wanting to get out. We're going to talk about racism. We're going to talk about the fact that, police brutality is an actual thing and all this other stuff. We're going to talk about the stuff that we want to talk about because right now we have your attention. That might not last for a very long time. Like it might be the hip thing right now to follow us. And then within a month, it's not. So you're unfollowed. But right now we're going to use the space and the platform that we have to get this out because it's been going on for far too long for us to not seize that opportunity, to not use our platform in that way to uplift these voices, which is why, like, one of the things that I am going to continue doing on my streams is my stream is basically going to be a charity stream every time I get on. That's not going to just last for this month or for the next 2 months. I was talking to someone the other day. I think I'm going to just like choose a new charity every month that is either like Black affiliated, other people of color affiliated, LGBT affiliated, disability affiliated. Because like these groups need our support, and like they don't just need our support because there's a hashtag going around or because everyone's blacked out their profiles and all this other stuff, but they need our support because this is real life for them. This is everyday life. This isn't something that we can turn off. So for me, a lot of this situation has been like, it's been a hodgepodge of emotions because I'm like happy that everyone is finally like seeing me and like I'm getting all of these people who want me on their streams or whatever. Happy because like finally all of these people are like behind us and all these people like understand what we've been saying when we say Black Lives Matter. And then the other part of me is like, why is it taking you so long? What is going on here that like in 2020 it finally clicked? Not when we were slaves, not when Jim Crow was a thing, not when the civil rights movement was happening, not when all of this stuff has been happening leading up, but in 2020, for the first time since like we were brought here, we have the majority of people on our side. And it's very hard. It's very hard for me every day to like look at my followers and look at all this other stuff and realize like I'm being followed because it's the trendy thing to do right now. But every day I have to push through that and say, if it's the trendy thing to do, I'm going to like do my best to put out what I need to put out. And I think that's what we're all doing. And that's what we're all trying to like get forward is like, if you're going to make a Instagram trend or whatever out of us, then like, let's actually do some good with that. And I think that's actually very beautiful about the Black Lives Matter movement is that we took this situation, this like thing that we've been dealing with for so long and like this thing that we've been putting forward. And even though it got hijacked by so many people and so many groups, we're like, we're just going to turn it. We're going to turn it in our favor. We're going to turn it in the favor of the victims. And we're going to continue to push through. So I don't know if you wanted me to go into all of that, but like, that's sort of like what the past week and a half has been for me. It's been really wild because like going through all of that while COVID-19 has been going on and all of that other stuff, it's been overwhelming. I literally said to my friend Matthew the other day, we need a factory reset on 2020 because I can't anymore. I can't have another thing happen that just like throws off my whole life. Like, small thing, but I was supposed to go see Mean Girls the musical next month and it got canceled. And I was like, that was the last thing I was looking forward to in 2020. Thank you. That's great. And it's maddening, honestly, everything that's going on. But I'm so glad that like I've had the strength and so many other people have had the strength to push through and get done with things that they need to get done so that we can like get on the other side of all of this and continue to like exist. So.
There's just one thing I wanted to come clean about is that there's one thing with the vast majority of the guests I have, who are mostly white. It's not that I don't care about their content, is that I you know, the vast majority of the cases, I have not consumed what they're doing. When I get them on the show, I get almost whoever, and I'm very happy. I'm curious to have conversations with them. So I'm saying that I'm not saying that as an excuse. I should be definitely more proactive to have a more diverse, guests. But to say no one should, I think in most cases, but certainly in the cases of my show, ever have qualm about, oh, does he care or not about what I'm doing? I don't mean that as a mean way, but I just care about having a nice conversation with nice people, and I'm not saying that to take down any of the people I had as guests. I think they were all amazing and they're doing amazing things. But no one should be ever shy to reach me out to be on the show. You know, if there's a little queue of people who want to be on the show, and there are people of colors, people of minorities or non-binary, I will be very happy to put them at the front of the queue, which is not very long anyway. And I mean, no, it's not very long, but it's long enough. I've got like 4 or 5 people. If I've got more than that, things need to be scheduled in advance, and it's not as spontaneous. So yeah, just my advice to anyone doing anything out there. You know, the people who are on the show, you see on a lot of shows, they might have those imposter syndrome things. I certainly do have them myself. Not only in the community, but in my job constantly, but the people you see on shows are people who just, yeah, they go for it. And I'm not saying that to say that's an excuse. There's definitely other very severe issues and systemic bias and personal bias, but just as an advice for absolutely anyone. Don't hesitate to reach me out and to reach other people, and they'll come back to you. And regarding people of colors, if you want to be on this, stupid little platform of mine, I would be extremely excited to chat with any of you, to have you on board. And right now, reliable, you can tell me if I'm an idiot or not, because I don't know. Right now, I'm sort of, pulled between reaching out black people to have them on the show or leaving them alone, because I cannot even imagine how stressful and demanding and all these thing of being trans are nice and a problem at the same time. And I'm not sure if I was reaching out, if I was trying to be proactive, I would be doing something positive or something negative. So, right. Now, in a month, in a year, 3 years, if you hear that, if you see that as a video, whoever you are, feel free to reach me out, and, I will make the space, for you. So that's what I have to say. And, with that, I want to apologize to you, because to be honest, I rushed in the stream a bit today and we didn't discuss that. And, I got in a bit like, oh, I just want you to have a good time. And if you don't, you know, if those conversations come, they will come. And I was the one who brought them to you, to the thing, because I ran out of questions. And I was like, So yeah. So that's it.
That's basically been like, that's been the thing that's been my life right now. So I was pretty much like, any interview I walk into, I'm like, that's going to come up. Like, whether organically or not, we're going to talk about it. So
yeah, I guess it's like a role playing game. You mentioned, like, this is something we discussed on the show, whether or not discussing questions of racism have their place in role playing games. My view is that they can have, if it's, if the people around the table opted for it, and it, I think it's something appropriate also if it's to develop empathy with people like me, who are white and cishet, who are not exposed to that, to maybe develop a bit of empathy through gaming, not to pile more of it on people who already go through it on a daily basis. And yeah, I think the situation right now is that the scale are falling a bit from our eyes, that things are not as rosy as we imagine when we are white, and we think that stuff around were more progressive than they are, and they're not at all, because we are surrounded by symbols, attitudes, behaviors, and so on, which are not appropriate. So yeah.
I getcha.
So yeah. where do we go from here? I'd really like to play with you sometime. That would be nice. It's there are lots of calls at the moment for people of color, for black people to be on shows. My advice is just answer them and make the most of it. I think you're entirely right. That's the right thing to do. Take advantage of it, because that's what everybody does. Whoever you see in the spotlight is someone who said, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of that. They might be for selfish or good reasons, but long story short, that's what happened. So
part of me taking advantage of that is also like bringing out characters that you don't typically see. So there's a podcast that I'm going to be on, that I am going to be playing a character who has lost their hearing, but also has no want to get it back, like is completely content being deaf, and completely like has adjusted their life how they see necessary, and like they're just a normal hero like everyone else. They just can't hear. They can read lips, they can do read sign language if necessary, but they can't hear. And I think a lot of the time, not specifically speaking about the disabled community, but like when I first started, for some reason there was like this innate fear in me to play someone who was black. Because like we would like go around the table and introduce our characters, and I'm like, everyone else is like fair skinned, olive skinned, light caramel. there are no dark skinned people that have been introduced, and I'm like, I'm not comfortable, so I'm not gonna do it. And like that happened over and over again. And I finally was just like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's fine. I'm a black elf. I'm not a drow, I'm not a wood elf, I'm black. And that's just how it's gonna be. And I've heard other people of color like talk about the same things about playing their own race in TTRPGs as sort of a daunting thing, because there are all the microaggressions that happen and all the like hoops that you have to jump through just to like get to that point with a lot of groups. And I will say, Speaking a little bit on the microaggressions and jumping of hoops, that is a lot of like the struggle of me right now and a lot of black people right now, is like, am I going to get to this table and someone is going to like say something that offends me? Am I going to have to deal with a microaggression on my race or my sexuality or something like that? Because a lot of the stuff that we're seeing now isn't there is blatant racism that we're seeing, especially from some hate groups around the country. But like a lot of the things that some non-minority people are having to address is the fact that like the small things that they do can also be perceived as racist and also be hurtful to people in the Black community. So that's like a big fear that I have is I'm going to get to a table and someone's going to say something that's going to offend me. And I'm going to either have to A, go off in the moment and, just deal with the consequences, or B, be silent and like try to let it go. Because like at that point, I'm just like, especially like this has happened to me so many times. Someone says something like, that is definitely racist, like in my eyes and a lot of other people's eyes, and the rest of the table laughs. And I'm like, okay, so I'm the only one here that's like going to have a problem with this. I'm going to be outnumbered. And I don't feel comfortable like approaching the situation now because like no one's going to be on my side. This is part of the reason that I left, that Vampire the Masquerade group was someone said something against the Black Lives Matter protests, and they were making jokes about it. And finally, I said something, and the whole community is at that point against me and looking at me like, you shouldn't be talking about political things in this group chat, and you shouldn't be like doing A, B, and C in here, and like just take that elsewhere. This is a safe space or whatever. And I'm like, okay, we can't like define safe space by like, how are we defining a safe space here? Like, because I don't feel safe when you say those things. I definitely don't. But like when I come and I like call you out and I say, hey, maybe don't talk about that, or hey, maybe that's insensitive, it's a problem. And now I'm being the aggressor and like all these other things. And I'm just like, how do I even feel comfortable enough to like play with you guys if this is the response that I'm getting? So like that's what I have to deal with a lot of time coming on shows, playing with people in general, answering those Roll 20 ads for people looking for players. Like, what am I going to have to deal with when I get to this table? And luckily, like with the groups that I'm still a part of, that's not a problem that I have to deal with. With the groups that I have left for various reasons, it's mostly been because I've had to deal with those things. And I either A, don't have the energy to address it because I address it every day on my day-to-day basis, and or B, I did address it and it wasn't handled properly. So that I feel like a lot of us are dealing with that, especially now. My friend Alexis, I was talking to her about all of this when it was happening. When my Twitter started blowing up, she was like, if you need me to do a broken stair check, don't worry. And I was like, what's a broken stair check? And she's like, basically like if anyone that like has reached out to you might have ill intentions or whatever based off of like the history that me or someone else has had with them. And I'm like, thank you. Because like, I don't know any of these people. Like I have no idea who any of these people are that are in my inbox now that are in my like message requests. Like there are still several people in my message requests that I have not responded to. One, because I'm overwhelmed, and two, because like I don't want to like open the door to something that might be toxic to me, actually. So that's been a huge struggle during all of this, and it's taken a lot out of me just to like continue to put myself out there and like just say I have to remind myself like, if something happens, have the strength to say something. If they don't handle it properly, leave. Because it's past you at that point. It's above me. And that's confidence within myself that I've had trouble gaining over the years, not only in TTRPG spaces, but also like in school, at work, and all these other things. So like having to deal with it in TTRPG spaces is like especially hard because that's my space to not deal with it, sort of. Being able to have the confidence to like actually handle those situations properly, if I can, is something that I'm continuing to work on that I've gotten a lot better at over time. but it is definitely something that I continue to like push myself to do. So
yeah, well, I hope if you join one of my game, I will be appropriate because to be no, but to be honest, I think one point you raise is how do you react when you are called out for something, and I think a lot of people like me, we don't paint ourselves as racist, but we have a number of bias and little things, which are not little, but I mean, we grew up, most of us, if not all of us, in very racist, environment. Again, I'm not saying that as an excuse. It's no excuse. Yeah, this week in the UK, they removed from Netflix and a number of archives some comedy shows, which I watched without, you know, realizing how severe some types of humor in that might have been. I mean, people were literally blackfaced in that. Come from a country where people think it's still up to debate. Well, yeah, was born in country. One of the monarchs was a genocidal maniac. It's never been addressed. And, yeah, we still have, tradition aimed at children with black-faced characters, which, anyway, it's not about me. Sorry. I think what matters is that, it doesn't matter if, that we paint ourselves as being not racist, is to accept that whether or not we paint ourselves, we might do things which are hurtful towards a number of people, not just people, black people, but a number of people, and we need to react positively to... I mean, the X card is a good example. We got the X card and it gives this illusion that, the X card is there, so if there's something wrong, someone might have pushed the X card, but if you don't create an environment where people are comfortable using the X card, and then if you react poorly when someone used the X card, or if afterwards you react poorly, and on top of that you say, but why didn't you use the X card? That's part of, it's a huge part of the problem. So yeah.
And I think, like, every time I've had safety tools explained to me, every time it's come up at the table, every time we talk about the X card, if an X card is pulled, we are going to stop. If we need to rewrite what just happened, we will do that. If we need to take a break, we will do that. But, like, no questions asked. Like, you don't need to give the reasons as to why you've pulled the X card. The X card is there and we're going to respect that. I think there are a lot of people out there who, like, say that they use safety tools, but, like, forget that aspect of it. Like, when you agree to use safety tools, you're agreeing to, like, the terms of someone being able to remove consent at any time, without reason, without, like, discourse. Like, if I remove consent, like, that's it. We're going to go back. We're going to do what we have to, like, make that not happen. But a lot of people don't understand that concept. And, like, it's a conversation that I'm always having of, like, and something that my coworker always says to me, consent is an ongoing thing. And, like, she says it, like, as we're, like, having conversations about something, and I'm just like, Sarah, you know, we can talk about that. Or, like, you can ask me about that. And she's just like, look, consent's an ongoing thing. You can revoke it at any time. I'm just, like, giving you that opportunity if you feel like you need to. And I super respect that out of her, and, like, super respect that at the tables that I'm at, that, like, we recognize that consent can be revoked. Like, I can, there are campaigns that I'm in now where, like, at the beginning of this campaign, police brutality was maybe at a yellow of, like, maybe put it behind the veil or maybe not a lot of it. But right now, it's a full red. And, like, if I see police brutality in game, I will definitely be pulling an X card. And I don't need to have a conversation about it. I don't need to, like, have, get you to try to have me explain, oh, well, why do you feel this way? Or, well, maybe you can just, like, adjust how you see this or whatever. No, that's not what needs to happen. I've pulled X card. We need to rewrite. Like, we need to swerve away from this because I'm being triggered in this moment. Like, it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter that this is where you thought the story was going. It doesn't matter that this is where you wanted the story to go. Like, one of your players does not feel safe. That is the end of it. So I'm glad that so many people are using safety tools now. I just hope that everyone is using them properly as well.
Well, the tools, I mean, it's a stupid comparison, but I'm an architect, and when I see all my colleagues are using tools developed by architects and used by architects, and they work with them, and they are literal tools, they are not practices based on culture. People are rubbish at using tools 90% of the time. They have zero curiosity about doing that properly. And even if you're good with the tools, you need to keep training yourself and having a review if you're doing things properly. So it's not a magic wand which waves away things. It's a starting point. So, and I'm, myself, I'm new with that. I'm learning to use this. So yeah, it's just, we need to put in the work, whatever we do. We need to, it's work and it's effort, and, but it's to the benefit of everybody feeling safe as possible, and everybody having a positive experience, as much as we can. Well, I don't know if you want to discuss something else. I'm here for as long as you want, or we can cut it short now. We've been talking for more than an hour, but if you want to go on, we can talk about something else. I would just say I'm mixed. Go ahead.
I don't have really anything else to talk about. I'm pretty much promoting everything on my Twitter at this point. Like I said, my stream is going to be 100% dedicated to like charity and all that stuff. Right now this month, I'm donating to Color of Change. I set the goal at 100 and they broke that like in the middle of my first stream. Like they got really close right before the stream started. And I was like, I just put the link out. Can we calm down? So I set it at 100. We broke that. I set it at 250. And I was like, I'll just have that ready for the next stream. I haven't streamed again. They've already broke 250. So now it's set at 500. So that's the work that I'm doing this month is Color of Change. I'm going to be switching it up every month. I'm also like trying to do my best to promote any other charity streams that I know are going on. For example, Dice Brewery, this week has been doing, doing charity streams associated with Asada's Daughters, a group of Black creative women. So we're promoting their stuff. We're donating to them and like putting all of our energy towards them there. And they're going to be doing a stream tonight. That's like their regular Friday night game. That's going to be that. So that's going to be cool. And then I have another stream in the morning. That's going to be that as well. I pretty much like that's my Twitter feed right now. And that's my life is I'm going to continue like promoting as much stuff as I can. And, I really hope my followers are ready for it. I hope they don't think that I'm going to like slow down on that. But that's most important to me right now is right now and forever is helping people who need it. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have left to say really, is check out all of the stuff that I'm promoting, on my Twitter, for like updates on charity streams and other places that you can help out. So yeah.
Well, I will check with you, once we're done, via, private message. So I will look up the links of the thing you mentioned, and if there's anything I'm missing, you can add them, and I'll put everything in the description of the episode on YouTube or in audio format. It's released a bit later, so people can go click it and share it, and you just come back whenever you want. Just let me know you want to come back, and send me people who would like to come for a chat, and I'd be more than happy for having, and especially you're popular, you know, it's a lot of people compared to our usual guests, so even if I'm it's all positive.
Nice.
In 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 3 years, just whenever you need something, just let me know, and I'll be happy to retweet or have you back on the show.
That's good. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great time.
Well, thank you so much. Among the many invites you're getting to have picked this one, I'm sincerely thankful that you did. That's it. Thanks everyone. Make sure to subscribe to Reliable's Twitch channel, and you have a YouTube channel as well with your videos afterwards, or?
I don't have it right now. I'm getting that set up.
It's so much work. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye guys.
Our logo is designed by Roland Kunz. Our theme song is Playtime by Jazar, which you can download on the Free Music Archive. A video version of this episode is available on YouTube. Please consider subscribing to our channel there. Leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. If you would like more Café Rollist, you can also get access to our archive of 100 or so additional episodes via Patreon. If you want to be informed of everything released by the Rollist, we have a monthly newsletter for you to join. And if you want to contribute via the chat room to one of our recordings, subscribe to our Twitch channel and social media accounts to be informed of when streams are happening. Finally, links to everything I just mentioned can be found in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening to us, and remember, you are the Rollist.